in that moment where we had no words, God sent our pastor and he said, this is not the time to allow yourself to walk away from the Lord. I know you're disappointed and devastated and we don't know what's going to happen. This is the time for you to press into your relationship with the Lord. This is the time, unlike any other time in your life, for you to choose to trust him.
Welcome to Family Life Today, where we want to help you pursue the relationships that matter most. I'm Ann Wilson.
And I'm Dave Wilson, and you can find us at familylifetoday.com. This is Family Life Today.
I'm excited that we have Brooke McLaughlin with us back today, talking about praying for our teen boys. Man, I just feel like every day with her is so great because it's just a reminder who God is and what he has for our kids. And I need this. I feel like we're all going to learn from
this.
We
all need this. It's going to be a good day.
Just recently, a few weeks ago, we were listening to one of our sons. He's a pastor. Mm-hmm. And he was preaching and he said this. He goes, when I was in college, I do not know how, but every time I would do something wrong, my mom would call the next day. It's like she knew everything that I did. I have no idea. It's because I would pray that prayer. Mm-hmm. Lord, just, you know, bring out those things that are hiding. And I don't even know how. I think friends would be at a party that he was at with my, you know, maybe a daughter, my friend's daughter was mm-hmm. there or somebody. Somehow I would always find out. Yeah. And then I would call him just to say, hey, hon, how are you doing? And he's like, I am freaking out because I'm like, how does my mom know this stuff? And they know that since they've been little, mm-hmm. that has been our prayer. Like, not that we would find out things to harm them no. or to make them feel bad or guilty, right. but just to talk through life yeah. with them. It's amazing how God
really
hears
is.
And answers those prayers.
It is. And as they get older, one of the things that changes about a mom's relationship with her son is that you don't need to know everything.
Exactly.
I really don't need to know where
my...
Or want to know. I don't need to know where my children are 24/7. I don't. We do still have both of our boys on Life 360, but I've told them, like, when you start paying for your own cell phone bill, you can get off of it. But I don't look at it all the time. I really don't stress over it because I can't live that way and they don't need me to live that way.
And that's one of those things that might be different with a girl too.
Yes.
Because as a girl, there's a protective factor in
True.
There. So yes. that could be different.
Yeah.
We wrote in our parenting book about a moment when we found internet porn on a computer in our house. Looking at history and, you know, the first question Ian had was, is this you? Mm-hmm. And I'm like, no, it's not me, which means it's one of our boys.
Yeah.
So then it's like process of elimination. I'll never forget the conversation with the son that admitted to it. You know, I remember thinking, what will I do in that moment? Mm-hmm. You know, am I going to yell at him? Mm-hmm. Am I going to scold him? Am I going to? And I cried. Mm-hmm. And I said, you don't know the box you just opened. I do.
Yeah.
I've been there. You know, so we had this conversation. But one of the things I remember about that conversation down in the basement.
Yeah, I remember.
Was
we were both there.
Ann sitting there with me. It wasn't a dad-son conversation.
No.
It was mom and dad.
Yeah.
And so you were a part of that conversation. It became mm-hmm. a journey that, you know, we could walk with him. He's married now. And it was, you know, Lord, keep my son pure.
Mm-hmm.
What's the difference between pure and clean?
Mm-hmm.
You're praying for clean as well.
Yes. Keeping your heart pure has to be a sort of like proactive, you know, whatever things are good and true and noble and like what you're thinking about, what you're doing, what you're allowing into your heart.
Mm.
It's a kind of on the front side of it to be more proactive that way. In my mind, when I think about keep them clean, it's what do you do when you mess that up? Because we all sin and we are forgiven, but there's an ongoing need for us to get clean before the Lord. In a very real sense, we are both already clean and still need to be cleaned up,
yeah.
but with the Lord more and more. And so my prayer is that my boys, one, I pray that they'll be found out if they sin, if that's what they need, if that's what, you know, God sees as best. But also I pray that they will be convicted if they sin to go and make things right first with their Heavenly Father and then go make things right with whoever they sinned against or in that, you know, whatever capacity that is.
I think if you have sons, this is a book that you're going to want to get because it's a book of prayers. Like, let me give you some of these chapter titles. Lord, let him hear wisdom. Lord, place a guard over his mouth. Lord, help him stand. Lord, open his eyes. Lord, give him a heart after you. Lord, make the hidden things known. These are the things we as moms are on our heart. Mm-hmm. And when we take them before our Father who cares about them and loves them more than we do, there's a sense for me of peace, because I can get as a mom super anxious, yes, about all these things coming after our sons. And I feel like we're living in a culture that it has like a lid on these boys from becoming the men that God intended mm-hmm. them to be. And then we as moms and dads have this incredible power to pray on our face before mm-hmm. God. And he answers. That's the thing you're seeing, mm-hmm. Brooke.
Yes.
He answers.
He does. And it really, the way that I have framed it over the years, I had this really special moment with the Lord when my youngest was 5 and my oldest was 7. And we were homeschooling them at the time. And I had put both of the boys in their quiet time. And I went downstairs, and it had been a particularly bad day. And I went downstairs to, I call it my green prayer chair. And I sat down before the Lord and I just came unglued. And I said, Lord, I can't do this anymore. I'm out. I'm tapping out. And I didn't mean that I was like tapping out on my boys. I just meant I don't have what it takes.
I'm at my wit's end.
I am at my wit's end. I love these kids so much, but I can't do this. Lord, I give up. And I have never heard the audible voice of God. But in that moment, he said, Brooke, don't give up. Your boys need someone to fight for them. And I have chosen that person to be you. It still gives me chills to say it was such a powerful turning point for me in my parenting. And that's the way I look at praying for my kids. There are a lot of reasons that parents and children might find themselves at odds with each other and feeling like they're fighting against each other. Prayer is the way that I can fight for my children.
Your chapter on wisdom. Mm-hmm. And I want to hear you tell the story about your son in college baseball.
Yeah.
Because yeah, I was a college athlete, and I don't know if I could make the decision he made.
Yeah. I have always told my boys that there are really only two kinds of men that the Bible describes, the foolish man and the wise man. The foolish man says in his heart, there is no God, and does whatever he wants to do. The wise man fears the Lord and follows him. Since they were little, I have often said to them, okay, what kind of man do you want to be? Mm. Are you going to be the foolish man or the wise man? And I still say that to them today as they're making a decision. What kind of man do you want to be, the foolish man or the wise man? And so it's helped us to frame their decisions. And I'm not going to sit here and tell you that they've never chosen foolishness. They have.
Yeah.
But in this particular account, this particular experience, my son had committed to go to a certain college to play baseball. It was his dream. The coach of that school had invited him somewhere around Christmas of his senior year of high school to go and play in a collegiate baseball league in another state. So he actually left us. He graduated and left us 4 days later. So it was a big deal for us to not only let him go, but like he was a whole nother state away.
Yeah.
Somewhere around the 4th of July, he came back home with some news that that particular coach, who was the one that had recruited him to play at the school, was not going to be at that school after all. And the coach had said to him, I think you can find a different place to play. I would recommend that you do that. And so we were going on his, like he had watched my son play for half of the summer at that point. We felt like, okay, maybe we should listen to him. And so we started kind of in panic mode going, okay, what do we do? We knew he could stay where he was. So it wasn't like we didn't have a place to go, but we started very quickly trying to figure out what was still available. And we went into this with a formula for where our kids would go to school. And this formula works. If you have an athlete, you can remove the variable. If you don't, and it's still works. But basically, it needed to be an academic fit, it needed to be an athletic fit, and it needed to be a financial fit. Academic, in that you need to have an education where you can actually get a job. athletic, you know, there's, as you know, different levels of college sports. We needed to decide, were they a JUCO player? Were they a D3, D2? Where do you fit athletically as well? It needs to be a fit there, or you'll never make it onto the field.
Right.
And then also, we got to be able to afford it. So we were being kind of picky. We had a connection to a program, a D2 program that was just kind of getting off, had new life in it, was kind of not a new program, but had a new coach, and they were rebuilding, and we had a strong connection there and some interest, but it was $80,000 a year.
Oh.
It was so late in the year that there was no athletic money left for the coaches to give. And he really wanted to go there. But when we sat down, because we had given him this from the get-go, this is the way it's going to be. When we sat down and said, I'm sorry, babe, but this one has to be off the table, he didn't even fight us on it. Now, he could have, and there have been other things that he has fought us on over the years. But in this particular one, he didn't fight us. And I think it was because we had laid it out from the beginning and he could see the wisdom. Like, I don't really want to saddle my parents with that kind of debt. Also, I don't want to start my life with that kind of debt. So that formula really helped us to find the right fit for him. And it has continued. He did end up going to a JUCO school for the first 2 years. But then when we started looking for where he was going to transfer, we use the same formula again. God's word gives us very practical wisdom. I say to a mom of boys, and the wisdom chapter, I will tell you, is my very favorite in the book. You might could tell that based on the way I talk about it, but go to the Proverbs, read them over and over, and the Psalms. Have your boys read them over and over again. The Bible tells us that wisdom is calling out from the rooftops. It can be seen. It can be heard. God is not hiding wisdom from our boys. But we also know that foolishness does the same thing. Foolishness is also wooing our boys in from the street corners and helping them to, you know, luring them in. We have to help them see the difference and pray that God will help them to want to choose wisdom.
Hey, let me just pause and say this. Our financial partners are the heartbeat of this ministry. And when you join this monthly giving community, you're not just donating, you're building something eternal.
And we'd be so honored to have you on the journey with us. We really would. So here's the question. Will you join us today?
I hope your answer is yes. And if it is, go to familylifetoday.com. You can click the donate button right there and become a part of the monthly partner program. Okay, let's talk about when things don't go the way we hope for our kids. That's never happened ever.
That's one of the hardest things when we pray a certain way and we're really hoping that God will take it this way that we've been praying and he doesn't.
Yeah.
And Brooke, you shared a story with us at lunch about how that happened to one of your sons.
It did. It did. You know, it's not only just that you pray for them to achieve their dreams, but then you're also watching them work hard to achieve their dreams. So it's not just this, you know, random thing. It's this collective family force that's moving forward in a certain direction. And then sometimes God just pumps the brakes in a way that you didn't really give him permission to do. And then you have to, you know, deal with that. Our oldest son had his dream come true to get an offer to play college baseball. And we were over the moon excited, as you might imagine. He was our first to go through this process with. I've often joked and said I could write a whole separate book on, you know, the college recruiting process and all that, or having athletes for kids. But it was so wildly exciting for that to happen to him, because there was a season in his athletic career, his high school career, where we just weren't sure that it was going to be a reality. But he worked hard, and 1 week to the day that he had gotten the offer, he was playing in a showcase event that he didn't even need to be at anymore, because he had the offer he wanted. And he was making a throw from shortstop to first base. And when he made a very forceful throw, the ligament in his elbow pulled bone from bone and he broke his elbow. And I knew there was a problem. You know, as a mom, my kids never want me to come down on the field, right? Never. Like, that's just, they don't want that unless it's really bad.
It's embarrassing.
It's very embarrassing for them. And so there have been a few times when they've been laid out one way or the other that I've just had to, you know, step back. But when my husband stood up immediately and walked down on the field, I knew that something was wrong. Not only that, but I saw his head coach stand up and walk down on the field. So I knew in that moment that something was bad. And sure enough, his elbow was broken. And at the time, we didn't know the fullness of the extent of the injury. If his UCL ligament had been torn, he would have had to have had what's called Tommy John surgery, and he probably would not have gotten to play baseball his entire senior year. His whole senior year would have been wiped out. And in that moment, on that Sunday afternoon, we didn't know what was going on. We weren't even sure of the fullness of the extent of the injury. So 1 week to the day, we had been so excited, way up here and then way down there. And I am a wordy girl. I always have things to say. I can come up with words of encouragement on the fly. It's a gift that God has given me. But in that moment, neither my husband nor myself had anything to say. We did not know what to say to him. There were just no words. We were all broken in that moment because we had no idea how this would impact the trajectory of his life. And he was just a sad, sad sack. We came home from going to the ER, and it was about the time our church at that time had an evening Sunday service, and we had not been there. And our pastor was a good friend of ours. He had heard that our son had had the accident, and he told us later, he said, I got in the car and I started driving toward home, and my car wouldn't let me go home. I just had to turn and go to your house. There was nothing for me to do but turn and go to your house. And he showed up at our house, and he walked in the door, and here's my son in this makeshift cast, because, you know, we hadn't even gotten to the doctor to get any kind of real casting or anything, braces. And he's just got one whole side of his body in this big bulky thing. And our pastor puts his hands on his shoulders and looks him in the eyes. In that moment where we had no words, God sent our pastor, and he said, this is not the time to allow yourself to walk away from the Lord. I know you're disappointed and devastated, and we don't know what's going to happen. This is the time for you to press into your relationship with the Lord. And he said, if God redirects you, if he uses this to redirect you, then you needed to be redirected. And if he doesn't, then he'll make a way for you to move forward. But this is the time, unlike any other time in your life, for you to choose to trust him in this moment. And we were just blown away at the goodness of God to help give our son the words that he needed in this moment that was so unsure and so full of emotion for him. Now, he did not have a UCL tear. He worked really hard in rehab all leading up to baseball season, and he got to play and he had a great season, and he did get to go and play college baseball, and we're really grateful for that. But in that moment, we didn't know. And it was one of those pivotal moments for him and for us as parents to just learn to trust that God's plan is best.
It's hard, especially when you have a child that it's been their dream for their whole lives. And then to see it possibly be done, and a lot of listeners have had that happen with their kids or themselves, like, I was moving this way because it felt like, Lord, you were taking my kids this way, and then all of a sudden it just totally shifted.
Yep.
And man, you're right, that's a hard thing. We've had that. One of Dave's hardest things in his life.
Yeah, I was going to say, when it's your parents' dream, as much as it is your son or daughter's dream, our son, you know, gets to the NFL, is on practice squad for 1 year with the Detroit Lions. You know, my team, I'm in the locker room with him. So it's really, I mean, what a dream come true.
And
your
own
son.
He's been praying since he was 8 to get a D1 scholarship and to possibly go to the next.
Yeah, he's 5'9". It's, you know, it's not going to happen. He does full ride, Division One, everything paid for, which he still reminds us that, you know.
You didn't have to pay for that.
We didn't have to pay for college. But, I mean, the short version, I think I've shared this here before, but he kept tearing his hamstring. And the team would release him because they needed the roster spot. And I've been around the league 30-some years. I'm like, Cody, when you get released, you're not getting re-signed unless you're a number one draft pick. It's over. And they re-signed him. And he tears it again. And they re-signed him 3 times that first year in the offseason. Kept tearing it and doing the rehab. And it was his dream. And long story short, he goes back for his second year. And the general manager grabs me on first day of training camp, camp's just about to start, and says, hey, I don't know if he's told you how well he's been doing, but we see him making the 53. He's probably going to be a starter. And I'm like, I don't even tell my son.
I'm just going to say, Dave is pumped out of his mind.
I drive home. I'm laying on the couch. I'm like, this is the dream we've prayed for our whole lives. This is amazing. And probably an hour, 2 hours after that conversation, they're in camp now. His wife, Jenna, texted all of us and said, he just tore it again. And I'd love to say I responded like your pastor did. I'm the pastor of my son. He's, you know, gone to our church his whole life. I literally take my phone and I whip it across the family room. And when there, it just bangs against the wall. And I just look at the ceiling. I'm like, seriously, God? Really? I mean, come on. It was harder for me than it was him. He knew from early college years, I'm called to ministry, and God's redirected me as your pastor used those so wise words.
Why do you think it was so hard for you?
I just saw, you know, it was a dream, and I thought, you know, he's going to be in a locker room. He's going to have a platform. He's going to reach people, you know, all that. And he could, God's using him in a totally different way. And I think it's hard to say what Jesus said in the garden. Mm-hmm. Not my will be done, but yours. Yes. I think it's easy to preach those words. I've preached those words. In this moment, it's like, my will, God, is come on. Mm-hmm. You've sort of laid this out. There's miracle after miracle. He even got there as a short little 5'9 dude. And now you're going to rip it out of his hands in the last second. Because it was like, you tear it four times. You're not.
Yeah.
And we all knew this is not to be. You know, today, if he ran out and went as hard as he could at that level, he'd probably tear it again. It was just something there. And it was obviously God had a different, and God's using him in powerful ways. It's beautiful to see, but it was hard for Dad to let go.
Yeah. And I think too, when we watch our kids work it's their dream and you're fighting along with them because it's so important to them. I didn't even know it was that important to Dave till I'm like, honey, like I need to pray for you more than Cody. But I think when our kids, we see that dream in them, we jump on that bandwagon with them.
Because there is nothing more exciting than watching your kid excel at what they love.
Yeah, it's like they're made to do it.
Oh, just watching them do what they were made to do. And yet, he was made to do more than one thing.
Yeah,
and to lay that down as an offering continually as a parent. And that prayer of Jesus, Lord, not my will for my child. I want your will to be done in their lives. Mm-hmm. And as a parent, sometimes that's hard because our kids walk through some real pain sometimes, just like Jesus did. And it's not easy. I can't imagine Father God watching Jesus walk through that.
Yeah, and at the end of the day, we all know this. They're not our kids.
No.
They're his kids, and he's got a better plan than we do.
Yeah,
and it comes back to surrender. Say, okay, I'm going to trust your plan. It's better than mine, and it is.
And nothing is wasted.
Nothing.
You said there were all these miracles that got him to that point, and now, Lord, you're going to take it away. And when God would say, "Well, but I'm using all those things.
Yeah,
that's all a part of what I'm using to get him where I want him to go. Those are things he needed for me to allow to ultimately get him to where he is now."
Brooke, what was your prayer that night the pastor came over when you guys didn't know the outcome? Yeah. What was your prayer that night?
Yeah, I tried. I'm gonna be honest and say I tried that, Lord, your will be done. But I think because our pastor, and this is a word for surrounding your kids with great biblical advisors as well.
And mentors.
I think because he so quickly swooped in and redirected us and helped even my husband and I find the right mindset and those kind of things, I began to pray for more of that. And God was faithful. Actually, he showed up at school the next day and the head football coach, who my husband went to school with, pulled him aside and said, "I know you're crushed right now, but God would not have given you this if it didn't have a purpose. And we're all here with you, and we're going to help you through this." I mean, he just continued.
Wow.
God continued to pull men that my son respected around him to give him that wisdom and the right perspective on the potential shattering of a dream. And so I just began to keep praying that the Lord would give us more of that. And he was faithful to do it.
And he does.
Yeah.
This is how I end it. You want to be wise? Get this book. You know, and I know it's written for moms, sort of, but not really. Because when I read it, preparing for this, I'm like, this is so well written. And then, you know, you have sample prayers. Like, if you've never prayed before, you don't know how to do it, it'll literally walk you through a prayer. So this is Brooke's book, Praying for Teen Boys. You can get it at familylifetoday.com. In the show notes, click on the link. I'd say get it, dads. Definitely get it, moms.
Grandparents too, probably.
Yes, absolutely. Teachers.
Yeah.
Sunday school teachers, high school teachers. Learn how to pray for the kids that you have in your sphere of influence.
Yeah.
Brooke, this has been amazing. Thanks for guiding us, giving us your wisdom. It's really good.
Thank you so much. I appreciate it.
So how many hours do you think we prayed for our teenagers when they were in high school,
middle
school?
On our knees, desperate, like so many situations where we couldn't do it, and the only resource we had was prayer and God.
I remember watching our oldest drive out with his driver's license. I had stood at the front window and prayed, God, please don't kill somebody with my son driving this car. I mean, if you're a parent of teenagers, you know you are desperately praying and asking God to be with them and take care of them. And we want to help you. We have prayers for you that will help you pray for your teens. Here's how you get them. Go to familylife.com/prayforteens, and you can download our prayer guide there, and it will help.
It's free. So download that. You're going to love it. We want to help you.
Family Life Today is a donor-supported ministry of Family Life, a crew ministry, helping you pursue the relationships that matter most.